Detroit developed best when it was bottom up. When small communities, small parishes, small schools were formed, that's when Detroit prospered. My name is Harry Verizer, and I grew up in Detroit. I teach at the University of Detroit Mercy. I have just written a book called It Didn't Have to Be This Way, which is a critique of the interventionist system, which has, I think, caused an awful lot of this trouble. It was a very vibrant city when I was a kid, and it was really the glory days of Detroit. It was the glory days of the automobile, and Detroit really grew up as a collection of communities. And I would stress this, government doesn't create community. The government's part of community, but community is much wider. And Detroit was ideally located, because in the north you had all the iron ore, and in the south, you had all the coal, and it was all connected by water. So it was a very, very inexpensive place to build things. So by 1951, Detroit had the highest standard of living in the world. It had 1.8 million people, because remember, one of the things that makes a city grow is cost. In those days, you didn't have an income tax, you didn't have an inheritance tax. I mean, Henry Ford started in a little bicycle shop. All the money he made was plowed back in the Ford Motor Company. So that's what built Ford Motor Company, as well as a lot of other companies. Today, that'd be very difficult to do, because it's very difficult to hold on to those profits, and you have to go to outside financing.
About to witness the very exciting story of a city and its people.
I really marked the fall in 1961 with the election of Jerome P. Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh brought in the Detroit City income tax. And as soon as you had the city income tax, immediately you had pressure from companies to move out. AAA was the first one to move out across 8 Mile Road. And all they had to do is move 8 miles out to 8 Mile Road or Telegraph Road, and there's no income tax. So suddenly now it became more costly to live in Detroit. We have the highest taxes in the state. Detroit is a very costly place to live. As we, in a sense, zoned Detroit, and we made these pockets, we created areas where crime could flourish. To have a neighborhood of just factories or a neighborhood of just stores or a neighborhood of just houses invites crime. But when you have a mixed neighborhood, when you have manufacturing, retail, families, schools, all mixed together, the neighborhood has eyes and it keeps crime down. And of course, as crime flourished and it was more expensive and we continued to increase taxes and increase taxes, people moved out. It was really the dream of progressivism, the idea that things can be planned from the top. Detroit developed best when it was bottom up. When small communities, small parishes, small schools were formed, that's when Detroit prospered. And the more centralization you got, and the more pulling things up to the top, the worse it got by the church, by the unions, by the city government, by the federal government. Completely wrecked the small communities here. For example, the HUD House scandal. George Romney, the governor of Michigan, a very progressive Republican governor, he was a planner, and he thought he could plan the place. And so the idea was, is we'll use welfare payments as income streams to pay off mortgages. A lot of people, what they would do is they would buy these houses because the federal government was guaranteeing the mortgage. So the banks didn't worry, they were glad to finance it. And the people then would move in, not having any respect for property, would strip the houses of anything valuable and they'd move on to the next house. And there were blocks and blocks of Detroit that were destroyed in the later 60s and early 70s, and it was called the HUD House scandal. It's going to be very hard to get rid of progressivism, this concept that bigger is better, and that uniformity and whatever else is better. And I think now Detroit offers a perfect example to the country of where this country will head if this trend towards progressivism continues. What could turn it around for Detroit, I think, is maybe the hope that the bankruptcy will clean a lot of this out. If, for example, the bankruptcy can end a lot of these very expensive programs, allow the neighborhoods to redevelop, that may help. The first thing I would do is break the city council units into very small units, maybe 10 blocks each, so that you no longer have to rely on big contributions and big labor to get elected. The other thing I think is I'd dump the zoning laws. I think the sooner we get rid of those, the better it would be. Now, we're not going to get the large industrial plants because that's gone by the boards. I mean, manufacturing today is not done with 10,000 people in a plant. It's done in very small, diversified industries. A city survives on a wide group of ages. You have to have young couples having children who will send their kids to schools that are safe and academically excellent. You have to have parents, obviously, and middle-aged folks, and you have to have old folks because they're the eyes of the neighborhood. And we have to realize that the community has to develop itself. It's organic. It's not going to come back with government planning. It's going to come back when government gets out of the way and allows the decisions to be made at the local level again.